You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
We've been in a series entitled Unstoppable Gospel, that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, like a flame, like a match for good, goes out all throughout the world. And we've been looking at a book of Isaiah that's written in 700 BC, seeing one of the match lit in that book of being able to see in Matthew or in Isaiah chapter 53 to see that it's Jesus Christ mentioned all through it. That you can see the cross of Christ, you can see the resurrection of Christ, you can see the tomb of Christ, you can see the life that we're to live. And it's all right there in Isaiah chapter 53. It's an amazing thing. If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to Isaiah 55 is where we're going to be. We've looked at Isaiah 53, and now we're looking at Isaiah 55. And as we looked at Isaiah 53, it's led us to this invitation in Isaiah 55. When we were previously together, we talked about that in the beginning of Isaiah 55, he says, come, and I want you, whoever's thirsty, whoever's in need, that if you need water, if you need milk, if you need wine, if you need joy, if you need peace, if you need all these things, come to God, because God through Christ can give you all of these things. And so Isaiah 55 is where we can have our thirst quenched. We talked last week that 75% of Americans are chronically dehydrated, that we need water. Even as I say that right now, you're getting a little bit of cotton in the mouth thinking I need to get a drink of water right now. But the thing is not that we're just cotton mouthed of the mouth, it's that we are cotton mouthed of the soul. We're parched in our soul. We need the water, the living water of the soul. But instead of spending our lives for great things, instead of trusting in Christ to be our everything and to be our water and our living water, instead of that, we're trusting in the things of the world. And so we introduced a Greek word last week. It was a very interesting Greek word. It was the Greek word funions is what we introduced. If you were here last week, this Greek word of funions, that you and I are oftentimes eating funions when God's given us steak, when he's given us great things. We're eating something that when you read the ingredients, onions are not even included in the ingredients. It's basically a chemical makeup of puffed air with an onion flavor to it. And that we're eating, even if it tastes good, even if it seems like the right thing, we're not eating of the things that God would want. He wants us instead to come with the living water of Jesus, the bread of light, the greatness of God, to allow God to fill our souls and our hearts. Not just the funions of the world, not just the things that are going on around us, not just having it work out right before us, but instead trusting that there's a plan of God, that he has done something, that he wants to speak to our hearts. And so our Siena campus, our Cypress campus, our downtown Espanol campus, the Loop, all of us getting our minds around this idea that God has something deeper than Funyuns for us. He has an unstoppable gospel that goes forward throughout the rest of the world. And it begins in us, in him making a change in us so that he can do his work through us. And we've been walking through also a difference maker declaration with this thought in mind, that God's plans are higher than our plans. That's what we're going to get to in just a moment in Isaiah 55. And this difference maker's declaration, we're going to say it together all over our city, all of our campuses, Cypress, Siena, downtown, Espanol, the Loop, all of us are going to say it. So I want us to say this together. You ready? We've said it a bunch of times. Here we go. Let's say it together. I was made for more than watching. I have a history-changing, difference-making, life-giving, spirit-empowered legacy to leave. Jesus, I ask you to work deeply in me and clearly through me as I pray, give, and go in your love. I am a difference-maker. In Jesus' name, amen. God's been putting that in us, getting that going through us. And I'm going to show you in Isaiah 55, beginning in verse 8, what happens when your plans get challenged? Have you ever wished that God's will, he was on your timetable instead of you being on his timetable? Have you ever thought, God, I wish you would take my ideas instead of just giving me your ideas? Have you ever wondered what happens? How does it work when his ideas and his ways are a bit different than ours? We're going to look in Isaiah chapter 55 in just a moment, but I want you to get the context. We've been talking about that Isaiah 40 and further, chapter 40 through 66, is a time of prophecy that he is saying, coming forward, the Babylonians are going to come and they're going to take over the people of God. The people of Israel are going to be taken over by the Babylonians. Now, here's what's interesting. The Babylonians are not even really a powerful force at this point. So we're seeing a biblical prophecy of something that's going to come true, which shows us that this is not just any other book. This is the Word of God. So he is going to say in 700 BC, these guys are going to come take over. And when they take over, I want you to be okay with that. Not that you like it, but I want you to understand that I am still in control. I'm still in control. When things go bad, do we realize that God is still in control? When things don't go our way, do we realize that God is still in control? And so he's going to predict and say that this is going to happen, but I want you to know God is still in control. Now, let me give you a couple things. I put it in your listening guide, which is in your weekly guide that you received when you walked in, that you could take notes on. I gave you a couple things, and I want to write them on the screen for us. There's two things when you look into the scripture that you always want to be thinking about. First of all, you want to be thinking about biblical context. So what's the biblical context that we would have in this scripture? That's the first thing we want to think about, biblical context. What's going on? Well, what's going on in this scripture is Babylon is going to take over, and he's wanting them to understand that God is still in control. Then we want to think, and there's many things that we could think about, but let's just put these two things. Then the next thing we want to think about is personal application. Personal application is the second one. Now, when we think about biblical context and personal application, we can put these two things together. What do we typically do in our Bible study time? We love this one. And we just want to figure out how this verse sits with me. What do I do with this? That's why we read Philippians a lot and we never read Leviticus, okay? Because it's a whole lot easier to get personal application out of Philippians than it is Leviticus. But we need to understand the biblical context of what's happening. That's when you become a student of the Word, and that's when your life begins to have a firm foundation. You need to understand, we have to understand the biblical context. So here in 700 BC, he is predicting that Babylon will take over, and that's going to happen in 586 BC. So about 150 years later, it's going to come, and they're going to capture the temple. And so he's going to say to these folks, as we get ready for the scripture, that's what they're thinking about. Uh-oh, things are not going well. Now let's look at Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 10. Here we go. Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 10. We got our biblical context. Now we're going to look at some personal application. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Oh my goodness, could anything be worse? Uh-oh. And your ways are not my ways. So we got two knots in here. That's a problem. Not my ways. This is the Lord's declaration. Verse 9. For as the heavens is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For just as the rain and snow fall from the heaven and do not return there without saturating the earth and making it germinate and sprout, providing seed to sow and food to eat. So here we have, kicking off this section of scripture, he says at the very beginning, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my thoughts are as high as the heavens are above the earth, my thoughts are away from your thoughts and my ways away from your ways. Now think about the height of that. That's an amazing thought there. Now here's what we've got to understand in personal application with this. God's will can be frustrating and comforting. Have you found that to be true in your life? Are you honest enough to say that? Sometimes we go like, whoa, whoa, don't say that. Wait a minute. We got to always say God's will is always wonderful and everything's always great. That's not the case if you really start living life. God's will can be tremendously frustrating. Do you think Moses was frustrated when he would go into Pharaoh's court and continue to say, let my people go, and plagues would happen and he wouldn't let them go? Do you think Paul was frustrated at times when there would be a riot happening because he was preaching the gospel? Do you think that Peter would be frustrated at times when people wouldn't believe him as he would share the Lord with them? God's will can be frustrating and comforting. I want us to say that together. You ready? Here we go. One, two, three, all campuses. God's will can be frustrating and comforting. It's frustrating because his will is so much higher than ours. It's frustrating because a lot of times we want God to get with our program instead of us getting with God's program. It's frustrating because we spend time often arguing with the Lord, brokering with God, doing a deal with the Lord, saying, if you'll do this, then I'll do this. And if I do this, will you do this? And we go back and forth, back and forth. Sometimes God's going to call you to things, not sometimes, often God's going to call you to things that are above your ability to do. Living a life that requires God is the Christian life. It's not that we live a life that God is a subset or God is a side item and we'll get to him if we got time and if we can and if we need him for something. God being our very life, that Christ in us as Christians, living through us, that's the true life that is lived. And that can be frustrating at times because my ideas and God's ideas are not always the same thing. They're not always the same thing. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are his ways and so are his ideas. Here's the truth. When I have God's ideas, I'm more likely to walk in his ways, aren't I? Do you notice the order of this? And when I have my ideas, I'm more likely to walk in my ways. So the key is getting God's idea. What's God's idea for this subject? What's God's idea for my family? What's God's idea for my nation? What's God's idea for my workplace? What's God's idea for my family? What is God's idea? And here's what you'll find. God's idea always has God's power. Your idea and my idea do not always have God's power. Now, ours may be short-term in nature, and they look great for a moment, but then they fizzle out at some point. It's a fad. It's a fashion. It's a popularity. It's a whatever. But God's ideas are eternal in nature. Therefore, we can look at a book that's 2,700 years old and go, huh, better than Oprah. Because this is the real deal. This is what's happening. God's ideas are higher. Our thoughts and our ways aren't his. And oftentimes we run the other way. His thoughts, and this is the comforting part and the frustrating part, he's higher. What does this mean that he's higher? What does this mean that his ways are higher, that his plans are higher? Here's what it means. Number one, they're greater in wisdom. His plans, his ways, his thoughts are greater in wisdom. What an amazing thought that is, that God's plans could be greater in wisdom. That we could look and we could see, okay, what are your plans? What are your thoughts? What are your ideas? They're going to be greater in wisdom. Have you ever done something God wanted you to do, and then further on down the road, you're like, oh, my Lord, thank you that I did that. The converse, have you ever done something that wasn't God's plan? And then you get to the end of it, and you're like, I knew I shouldn't have done that. Why did I say that? Why did I do that? Why did I act like that? Why did I push that through? We beat our head against a wall, and God, he isn't alarmed by it. He's seen humans before. He's greater in wisdom, the wisdom of the Lord. I want to encourage you. I pray this every day of my life. I pray for leadership, and I pray for wisdom. Lord, would you give me leadership? Would you give me wisdom? Lord, would you give me leadership? Would you give me wisdom? Because wisdom is so important in life. No matter where you are in life, if you're operating on your own wisdom and your own idea, it's different. His is higher. It's greater. He sees the future. His ways and his thoughts are greater in wisdom. What does it mean by higher? It also means that they're longer in scope. They're longer in scope. God's plans, God's ways, God's wisdom, God's thoughts, they're longer in scope. How do we know that they're longer in scope? We know that they're longer in scope by this. This is a 700 BC written document, but it's talking about Jesus going to the cross. It's longer in scope. There's prophecies all throughout the scriptures. It's not just personal application. It's biblical context of prophecies of things coming true. Do you realize that it was prophesied that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem in Micah chapter 5, verse 2? It was prophesied that he would live a sinless life. It was prophesied that he'd be born of a virgin. It was prophesied that they would gamble for his garments. It was prophesied that no bones would be broken. It was prophesied that he'd rise again from the grave. All of these things are longer in scope. God looks at the line of eternity, and guess what? If you were to draw a line from eternity past to eternity future, you and I are maybe a dot of a pencil on that line, and God sees the whole thing. Wait a minute, Pastor, that makes me feel small. Exactly. The bigger God gets in your view and the smaller we get in our view, the better life goes. John 3:30, for he must increase and I must decrease. It's longer in scope. And then number three, and finally on, what does this mean higher? It means that he's perfect in perspective. God's perfect in perspective. What a thought that he would be perfect in perspective. He's greater in wisdom. He's longer in scope. He's perfect in perspective. He always gets it. Do you ever find when you go to a city, maybe go to New York or Chicago, there's an observation deck at the top of the Empire State Building or the Sears Tower? And we all kind of like to do that. So we get and we pay our $20 and we get on an elevator and we wait in line and we get up to the top and we look at the maps and we go, wow, look at the people, and they look so small down there. Even in Chicago, I've been to the one there where they have the glass that hangs out over. And you stand there, and not only do they have that, now you can hang on to a thing, and we did this, and then you tilt out at a 45-degree angle. So now you're tilting out at a 45-degree angle over the glass, over the ground that is like, you know, 100-and-something stories or whatever down there. Now, that gives you a kind of a crazy perspective is what that gives you right there. But I checked my life insurance before I did it, and I was paid up, so it was okay. We love getting up there, don't we? We love seeing something from the top. Why do the coaches sit in the press box to call the plays? Because they can look, and it looks like the game film they've been watching all week long, and they can see how that whole thing pans out. I'm sure there's coaches on the field, but there's coaches in the press box. When I went to Jerusalem, the first thing that we did is we took the bus, and we went up to the Mount of Olives, and we looked over Jerusalem so that we could see, and then the tour guide took us to a model so that we could see all these things happening. What do you do when you get in your car and you want to see if there's traffic in Houston? If you got GPS on your phone or in your car, you then pull it up so you can get the overview and see where those red lines are and those yellow lines are, those green lines are all throughout the city, so you get a perspective. Do you go the back route, which we all know real well? We all got our back routes, or we get on the interstate and take it that way. It's perspective, and God's perspective is high. It's large. It's not a Funyun-eaten perspective. It is a scope that is intertwining everything that is taking place. And I say to us, His will is higher. It's different. So much that in verse 10, it gives us a nature illustration. And it said that this will then, as rain and snow fall from heaven and do not return there without saturating the earth and making it germinate and sprout, providing seed to the sower and food to the eater. We'll get in just a minute about His word with that. He gives a nature illustration and says, here's my word. I want you to see that my word is just like the rain and the snow that's going out. And it waters the earth, waters the earth. In Houston, we've definitely seen in recent days what happens when you don't get just steady rain, but you get like an onslaught and there's flooding. I was in Minneapolis speaking to some church planters up there, and I was at the Holiday Inn Express getting my food, just coming through, getting my oatmeal, and I heard on CNN behind me, Houston, great flooding, we're interviewing so-and-so, and I turned around and all the bayous were filled this summer with just all this water. What happens when you get too much at one time? See, the great thing is when you get steady rain and steady snow over and over and over and over, and I know we don't know a bit about snow, but we get the steadiness of the rain going. That's what God wants in our lives with Him as well. He wants us steadily coming. Not just binging and purging, but steadily coming for wisdom from God. And then what happens is there's a cumulative effect of what God's doing in your life. And then your life begins to give bread to the eater and seed to the sower, and your life begins to be a difference-making life, that things are sprouting up from the ground. What a great thing that is to see it sprout and watch it happen. Look, if you will, in Isaiah 55, verse 11 through 13. Taking this nature illustration a little bit further. So my word that comes from my mouth will not return. I want you to notice the word return. We're going to talk about that in a second. Return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please and will prosper in what I send it to do. So His will is going to be done. Verse 12. You will indeed go out with joy and be peacefully guided, and the mountains and the hills will break into singing before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. And instead of a thorn bush, a cypress will come out. Cypress campus, I just think it's cool that you guys get mentioned in the Bible with our Cypress campus, will come up, and instead of the briar, and a myrtle will come up, and it will make a name for the Lord as an everlasting sign that will not be destroyed. This now gives that His word is going to go forward, that He has purposes that will be accomplished. God has purposes that are going to be accomplished. The question is not whether or not God's purposes will be accomplished. The question is whether or not you and I will be a part of God's purposes being accomplished. That's the only question. He's going to get His stuff done. God always accomplishes His purpose. It always happens. So that's why He said that the rain comes down and then it returns to Him. It returns, it does not return without saturating the earth and then having things blossom. That's the nature illustration in verse 10. Then it says in verse 11, so my word comes from my mouth, and it will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please. See, it's this wonderful cycle and circle. You see it in nature. The rain falls, and the rain evaporates back up, and then it falls again. It gives then seed and sower and bread and eater and all of those things. It gives us the water to give us what we need in the crops. And it's this wonderful cycle. And if you just break the cycle, it's not going to work, and so it is with our lives. There's a wonderful cycle that God's will is done, and we understand more of His ways, so we understand more of His thoughts and more of His ways. So now His will is done, so we understand more of His thoughts and His ways. So as now His will is done, so we understand more of His thoughts and His ways. The question is, will we be a part of the accomplishment of His will? His will be accomplished. 100 years ago, none of us existed on planet Earth. 1,000 years ago, none of us were even thought of on planet Earth. And yet His will has been marching. He's marching. He's going to get it done. He's going to get it done. Jesus will return. Heaven will be true. All of these things will happen. We see it through the prophecies. But the question is not, will we be, the question is whether or not we will be a part of accomplishing His will. We've been talking about difference makers, and I want to give you two illustrations from either end of the spectrum of difference makers. Difference makers, we gave out, if you remember, a while back, we gave out a t-shirt, if you were here that day. You should always come to church because sometimes you get free stuff. So we gave out a t-shirt to everybody, all campuses, that said difference makers across the front of it. And it's been awesome. I've seen them in restaurants, people there in restaurants wearing them. I've seen people around town wearing them. It's been great to hear and to see, hear the stories and see people wearing just, these shirts just simply says difference makers. We want to be difference makers. So here's an email that I got. Our Siena campus did a thing called Day with Dad in the Darrington Prison. And so it says throughout the scriptures, we're to minister to the prisoners. And so we go in prison ministry and do a lot of that. And so our Siena campus went to the Darrington Prison Unit, and they met this one man named Terry. And Terry, you're listening on radio right now, and I'm giving you a shout out because we're proud of you and what God's doing in you. Terry's been listening to the radio for years of our radio ministry. He's gone through the book of Acts with us. He's gone through Mission 8:18 with us. And God's using him in a great way. He has gone through the seminary that they do in the Darrington prison. So now that he's a chaplain, he's a prisoner, but he's a chaplain that is now discipling other folks that are there. Darrington has a reputation of being one of the toughest prisons in the state. And it says here that he's a part of transforming the men in the culture that is there. He's graduated and from the seminary there, and is pastoring men in the prison with the ultimate goal of sending out those prisoners further into the prisons to make a difference. That's awesome, isn't it? That's amazing to think about. Yeah, let's give that. Terry, we're giving you applause. Siena campus as well, making a difference in that way. He actually even wrote a book with some other prisoners that's a daily devotional guide for prisoners. That's pretty amazing that they've got that. That's awesome to be able to have this. But here's what he said. Please tell Pastor Greg, I don't have a difference maker t-shirt, but I have a difference maker heart. Isn't that great? I don't have a difference maker t-shirt, but I have a difference maker heart. Now, which is more important? The heart, right? Who cares about the t-shirt? You can wear whatever you want. The heart, so that's one end of the spectrum. I mean, that's God's ideas and God's thoughts and God's ways. And I mean, aren't we supposed to just kind of lock the door and throw away the key? I mean, but God's doing something. His thoughts and His ways are higher. More's happening. That's what even the best of the best of what it means to be rehabilitated in prison is to find your soul in prison. Not just a skill, but to find your soul. And so that's Terry on one side of the equation of God's plans. Who would have ever thought of that? That's a higher plan than I could have ever thought of what God can do with that. Wow. Let's follow Him in those things. Let's say yes. I hope the prisoners that are listening right now even would just say yes even more to the Lord. So God's doing, that's one end of the spectrum. Now let me give you another end of the spectrum. Difference makers, t-shirts as well. God's ways are higher. God's thoughts are higher. Things you could never imagine. You could never think of. God is at work in different places. In our state, some guys that are part of law enforcement, they found out about our difference makers t-shirts. They got the difference makers t-shirts. Some of them are believers in Christ. And what they do in law enforcement is they go on raids, okay? So it's you know, I'm not going to tell you too much, but they go on raids to get the bad guys and to be able to say, okay, let's go in and we're going to surveillance and we're going to get it. And then they bust in the door and they go in the door to catch the bad guys. Let me tell you what, I am so grateful for men and women like that because they protect our families, don't they? Because if they get those guys, then that helps to quit the trickle-down effect of what crime does. So we're so grateful for them. They are difference makers in a huge way. But you know what they call themselves? Yeah, y'all can applaud for them. You're going to want to applaud for them again in a minute, though. Difference makers in our law enforcement, we honor them. Yes, we do. Well, they asked for a couple t-shirts, and of course, we said yes. They call their unit the difference makers, now is what they call themselves. They wear underneath, hear this, underneath their bulletproof vests, when they go on a raid, they wear the undershirt that says difference makers across it as they put on their bulletproof vests. Is that awesome? Yeah. Now, I don't think they bust in and go, in the name of First Baptist Houston, stop what you're doing. You know, I mean, which, you know, they have higher authority than just us, but they've got God's plan behind them as well. And let me tell you what, they're making a difference. That's a thought that's higher than I can think of. That's not something we planned out. We said, hey, when we make this t-shirt, let's see if we can get a prisoner and a police officer, a raid guy to put these all together. And let's see if we can get that. But do you see what God does? His perspective is perfect. His wisdom is greater. His scope is higher. He is longer in scope, greater in wisdom, perfect in perspective. And he's got it from all ends of the deal. So let's ask the question, what about us? Will we be difference makers and will we allow God's thoughts higher than ours to be our thoughts? God's ways higher than our ways. Because what he says in verse 11 and following, he says, my word comes out from my mouth and it will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and what I please, and it will prosper in what I sent it to do. God's word, even this particularly, when the word of God is spoken, when the Bible is taught, when scriptures are out there, it's like it just hangs on for all of eternity as a reverberating sound, just out there. I had a pastor growing up, and he'd say this, I think about this a lot. I base my sermon success on this. If I got the naked word of God, is what he would call it, the naked word of God goes out, then I've been successful in my message. And I've thought about that many a time, and that's why we stay very close to the Bible. Because you know how good Greg's ideas are? Not good enough for you to show up Sunday after Sunday, I can promise you that. But God's ideas are amazing. And they accomplish what he wants to accomplish. William Carey put it like this, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God, attempt great things for us. Because his word and his truth never, ever returns void. So I ask you this, Funyuns or faithfulness? This one lasts. This one tastes good for a moment. And God in his scriptures is saying, my thoughts are higher than you could ever imagine. And my ways are greater than you could ever imagine. And they will be accomplished, and they will give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, just as the rain and the snow fall on the earth. And then it will be that all of nature, it gives us at the end of it, that the nature will clap their hands. Indeed, you will go out with joy and be peacefully guided. That's awesome. The mountains and hills will break into song before you. Now, what is that? Is that a Disney movie where everything starts clapping in nature? Is this Sound of Music and the hills are alive with the sound of music? No, this isn't some kind of cartoon. This is saying that now we are connected and we are connected with the Creator, and that as we walk out, all of earth celebrates all of these things of creation as creation's purpose is fulfilled. And then many commentators say that verse 12 and verse 13 is what happens in our heart after we trust Jesus Christ as Savior. So instead of the thorn bush, there's now this blossoming. Instead of the drought, there's water that comes. That instead of a thorn bush, there's cypress. Instead of a briar, there's myrtle. And the name of the Lord will be an everlasting sign as we trust in what God is doing. He wants to do something through me and you. But here's what we got to get past. You ready? Here's the big deal. How do you respond when his thoughts and his ways are not your thoughts and not your ways? That's the crux. How do we respond when his ways and his thoughts are not my ways and my thoughts? Here's what I've tried to do in my life, and I know many of you in yours. Lord, I choose you. I choose you. You're the one with greater wisdom, with longer scope, with perfect perspective. I choose what you want, and so I want to follow you from your word, from your spirit, from the people of God. I want to follow you, and then you can make a difference in and through me. Let me tell you one other thing, and we'll close, of what God's been doing. Amazing stuff of how he's been moving. Lots of conversations in our society these days about refugees, and I'm not trying to get into all of that. I just want you to know that there's refugees that are here already, that live here, and Houston has more refugees than really a lot of other places in the country. And so we've had for years what's called a faith center, and it's right off Long Point, and we give away food and clothes, and we share Christ with people. We help thousands of people a year that are poverty-stricken in our church. We lead them to the Lord as well. We minister to them. We care for them. What we decided as we were expanding with campuses, we didn't want to just expand with campuses. We also wanted to expand with faith centers as well. We felt like that gave us a great balance, that we're expanding with a church campus in Cypress and Siena and downtown and Espanol. But we also want to expand with those that are probably never going to come to our service, but they have deep physical needs to give them food and clothing and to be able to care for them and help them to go through. So we have our faith center off Long Point in Spring Branch that we've had for a good while, many, many decades. We also, in Timber Grove area, kind of in the Heights area, we have another faith center that we're doing there to help people out there. And then now, this past week, we opened up a faith center that's off Harwin. So if you go Beltway 8 and you kind of come back in on Beltway 8 to Harwin, you get there, and there's a ton of refugees that live in those apartments right there. So we rented out a strip shopping center, some space there. We rented it out, and we've been getting ready to open this place up so that we could care for folks that are there. And I'm telling you, it has not been easy. We have prayed this thing into existence. I've sat in the parking lot with church members and prayed that God would do his work. The place is nothing fancy, and for some reason, well, we don't want your lease, and we don't want this. It has been a long, long battle. But don't you know, the enemy doesn't let things happen easy that are of God. But we felt like we had God's idea and God's ways, and so we kept praying, we kept praying, we kept praying, we kept praying, we kept praying. We started asking and asking and asking and asking. Right across the street, there's this apartment complex, and I've been in there when we've been doing ministry, and there's hundreds of kids in there. And I'm telling you, it looks like you have left America. They're basically in that place, Bhutanese refugees, Burmese refugees, and Nepali refugees are the main groups that are there. And so what we're doing right across the street, right next to a mosque that's down the street just a tad from us, is Houston's First Baptist Faith Center that's there. And we're going to help people understand how to get a driver's license. We're going to teach English as a second language. We're going to do clothes closet. We're going to do food for them. We're going to care for them. We already do, I think, every other Saturday, games for the kids and kind of vacation Bible school that happens in there. So we are full on caring for these folks. Well, this last week came, and it was time to get permits of the city. So the city permit folks came, and that's not always the easiest thing to get. And so they came, and they were there to get the permits, and so we were giving them a tour. I wasn't given the tour, but they were given the tour in that, and they were sharing all these things. And, well, what are you going to do with this place? And this is what we're going to do. We're going to do driver's license. We're going to do ESL. We're going to do food. We're going to do clothing. We're going to help people with whatever they need help with to be able to do that. And they said, well, this is what the guy said. And we got the permit. That all worked out. But here's what the city guy said. What church? You're going to do this for free? He said, yeah. Yeah, we're going to do this for free. Actually, it's going to cost us money to do it for free, right? I mean, nothing's free. We're paying money to do this. We're paying the lease. We're paying the food. We're doing all these different things. He said, you're going to do this for free? And then he said, yeah. He said, what church in the world would do all this for free? And then the head of our ministry there said, Houston's First Baptist Church. And the city official said, yeah, of course you guys would. Isn't that awesome? That's because we want to be a church that thinks with God's thoughts, walks with God's ways, and lets the things happen that God wants to do in ways that make a difference for the kingdom of God. That's an amazing thought. So I leave you with this thought I've been pondering, I've been thinking about, and that illustrated it perfect. You know, people will ask, a lot of times I'll say I'm a pastor, and I try not to say that too quick because it scares them, but I try to, you know, say I'm a Christian, and then I'll get to a pastor, and then they'll say, what church do you pastor? And this is what I try to answer. I said, before I tell you what church I pastor, let me tell you the kind of church I pastor. I've pastored the kind of church that over the last couple of years has helped sponsor over 100 adoptions, rescued hundreds of kids from abortion. I pastor the kind of church that has faith centers all throughout the city, that cares for people that are the least and the lost, and welcomes them in as a guest, as a client, if you will, and treats them with respect and loves them and cares for them. I pastor the kind of church that cares about the richest of the rich and the poorest of the poor. I pastor the kind of church that loves the Bible. I pastor the kind of church that's raised millions of dollars to give it away. I pastor the kind of church that ministers to the prisoner, the widow, the orphan, and the poor, and the middle class, and the upper middle class, and everybody in between. I pastor the kind of church that difference makers in law enforcement say, I want to make a difference for good and thwart evil. Here's what happens. When you tell people what kind of church you go to, they are on their edge of their seat to say, what church is it? Houston's First Baptist Church, where the people of God, listen, and we'll close, choose the thoughts and the ways of God over their own, so that God Almighty, through Jesus Christ, can make a difference through them, and something better than Funyuns begins to happen in your life. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Have you ever placed your faith in this God who loves you and sent His Son? Ask Him to forgive your sins and wash you clean. If you haven't, at every single campus, you'll have an opportunity to respond. Are you a member of a church? Are you a part of a body of Christ? That's the kind of church we are. Come and be a part of being a difference maker in this church. Are you not walking with God's ideas, but with your own and your own ways as a subset? Come and give your heart back to the Lord and say, God, may your will be done. And then what will happen is you'll get caught up in this wonderful cycle. His thoughts, His ways, you use for His purpose. His thoughts, His ways, you use for His purpose. And you'll begin to make a difference like you've never made before.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.